I'll read the next text, actually, and then we'll read the word-by-word synonyms. Etar dvadasha virvidyan vidvan, sorry. Atmano lakshanai parahai aham amecha sadbhavam dehadau mohajam jajet. So, Atma, the spirit soul. The part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nityaha, without birth or death. Avyaya, with no possibility of dwindling. Vishuddha, without the material contamination of attachment and detachment. Ekaha, individual. Ishetrakyaha, who knows and who is therefore different from the material body. Ashrayaha, the original foundation. There's a footnote here. I just want to read this. When it says original foundation, I'll read the footnote that it refers to. You probably have a little one there too, right? Yeah. So there's a footnote that says, without the shelter of the spirit soul, the material body cannot exist. So that's what it means by the original foundation. So I'm just reading the footnotes. Avikriyaha, not undergoing changes like the body. And there's a footnote for this too. As already explained, the fruits and flowers of a tree take birth, that's the last verse actually, exist, grow, transform, dwindle, and die according to seasonal changes, but the tree, through all those changes, remains the same. Similarly, the Atma is free from all changes. Okay. Swadrik, self-illuminated. And there's another footnote there. One does not need to make the soul prominent. It is automatically prominent. One can very easily understand that in the living body there is a spirit soul. This is a continuation of the footnote somewhere. All right, there's a spirit soul. That's enough. Okay. Hetuhu, the cause of all causes. Vyapakaha, spreading throughout the body in the form of consciousness. Asangi, not depending on the body. Free to transmigrate from one body to another. Anavritaha, not covered by material contamination. Etahai, by all these. Dvadashabihi, 12. Vidvan, a person who is not foolish but fully aware of things as they are. Atmanaha, of the spirit soul. Lakshanahai, symptoms. Parahai, transcendental. Aham, I. I am this body. Mama, mine. Everything in relationship with this body is mine. Iti, thus. Asat bhavam, a false conception of life. Deha adau, identifying oneself with the material body. And then with one's wife, children, family, community, nation, and so on. Mohajam, produced from illusory knowledge. Jajet, must give up. So translation, Atma refers to the Supreme Lord or the living entities. Both of them are spiritual, free from birth and death, free from deterioration, and free from material contamination. They are individual, And they are the knowers of the external body, and they are the foundations or shelter of everything. They are free from material change. They are self-illuminated. They are the cause of all causes, and they are all-pervading. They have nothing to do with the material body, and therefore they are always uncovered. With these transcendental qualities, one who is actually learned must give up the illusory conception of life in which one thinks, I am this material body, and everything in relationship with this body is mine. So, going to purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In Bhagavad Gita, in the 15th chapter, text 7, Lord Krishna clearly states, Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta. All living entities are part of me. Therefore, the living entities are qualitatively the same as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the leader, the supreme among all living entities. In the Vedas, it is said, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. The Lord is the chief individual living entity, the leader of the subordinate living entities. Because the living entities are parts or samples of God, their qualities are not different from those of the Supreme Lord. The living entities have the same qualities as the Lord, just as a drop of seawater is composed of the same chemicals as the great sea itself. There is oneness in quality, but a difference in quantity. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by understanding the sample, the living entity, because all the qualities of God exist in a minute quantity in the living entities. I'll read that sentence again because it's really interesting. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by understanding the sample, the living entity. Wow. Because all the qualities of God exist in a minute quantity in the living entities. There is oneness, but God is great, whereas the living entities are extremely small. Anor Aniyan Mahato Mahiyan. Katha Upanishad 1:20. The living entities are smaller than the atom, but God is greater than the greatest. Our conception of greatness may be represented by the sky, because we think of the sky as being unlimitedly big, but God is bigger than the sky. Similarly, we have knowledge that the living entities are smaller than atoms, being 1/10,000th the size of the tip of the hair. Yet the quality of being the supreme cause of all causes exists in the living entity as well as in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'll read that sentence again because that's, at least that part, because that's really interesting. Yet the quality of being the supreme cause of all causes exists in the living entity as well as in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That doesn't mean he is the cause of all causes. So, indeed, it is due to the presence of the living entity that the body exists and bodily changes take place. Similarly, it is because the Supreme Lord is within this universe that the changes dictated by the material laws occur. The word ekaha, meaning individual, is significant. As explained in Bhagavad Gita, matstani sarva-bhutani nachaham teshvavastitaha. Everything material and spiritual, including earth, water, air, fire, sky, and living entities, exists on the platform of spirit-soul. Although everything is an emanation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should not think that the Supreme Lord is dependent upon anything else. Both God and the living entities are fully conscious. As living entities, we are conscious of our bodily existence. Similarly, the Lord is conscious of the gigantic cosmic manifestation. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Yasmin dvau prithivi chantariksham vigyatharam arikena vijaniyat ekam eva dhityam atmajyotir samrad ihovacha sahimam lokan asrijata asrijata sacham gyanam anantam Asango yayam purusha purnasya purnam adaya purnam eva vashishyate. All these Vedic injunctions, these from different places actually, prove that both the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the minute soul are individual. One is great and the other is small, but both of them are the cause of all causes, the corporally limited and the universally unlimited. Wow. Yeah. All these Vedic injunctions prove that both the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the minute soul are individual. One is great and the other is small, but both of them are the cause of all causes. The corporally limited, that means corporal, that corpus means the body, basically. It means we're limited by this body. Like, you know, Gita, I mean, I think I should explain before we finish the purport. Krishna says, I am the knower of all bodies, and the soul is the knower only of the individual body. Kshetragya. Kshetragyayor. And the universally unlimited, of course, that's Krishna. We should always remember that although we are equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in quality, we are never equal to him in quantity. Persons with a small fund of knowledge, finding themselves equal in quality with God, foolishly think that they were equal in quantity also. Their intelligence is called avashuddha buddhiya, unpolished or contaminated intelligence. When such persons, after endeavoring hard for many, many lives to understand the Supreme Cause, are finally in actual knowledge of Krishna Vasudeva, they surrender unto him. Vasudeva sarvam iti sa mahatma sudurlava. Thus they become great Mahatmas, perfect souls. If one is fortunate enough to understand his relationship with God, knowing that God is great, Vibhu, whereas the living entity is small, Anu, he is perfect in knowledge. The individual exists in darkness when he thinks that he is the material body and that everything in relationship with the material body belongs to him. This is called aham mama, janasya mohayam aham mameti. This is illusion. One must give up his illusory conception and thus become fully aware of everything. So much of this proof for it. So, Omagana Timirandasha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Miditam Yena Tasmai Shikadave Namaha. So upon reading this verse, of course the first word is Atma, which in this verse refers to the Supreme Lord or the living entities, I was reminded of this other verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam known as the Atmarama verse. In which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his discussion with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, elaborates on different meanings of the word Atma. And I'm going to read the Atmarama's verse and then actually read a little bit about Lord Chaitanya's elaboration on this, because I think this is connected with the class. So the verse, of course, is Atmaramas cha munio nigranta pi rukume kurvanti ahaita kuyim. Vaktim itam buddha guno hari. And that the translation is that those who are self-satisfied and unattracted by external material desires are also attracted by the loving service of Sri Krishna, whose qualities are transcendental and whose activities are wonderful. Hari, the personality of Godhead, is called Krishna because he has such transcendentally attractive features. And that's from the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.10. And that verse is spoken in relationship to devotees, generally spoken to in relationship to devotees who were previously established in Brahman, which Prabhupada refers to here, thinking the oneness, that everything is one, or that somehow or other, you know, I'm God, we're all God, and this is called vivarta. Vivarta means illusion. This vivartavad. Like there's two Mayavadi and impersonalistic approaches to the absolute. One is called Parinama, the other one is called Vivarta. And I'll explain that briefly. Vivarta means illusion, that the Supreme Personality of God, who is me, fell into illusion, and I forgot that I'm God. Convenient. And so, of course, that actually means there's no God because illusion is stronger than God. And then the other one is parinama, which means transformation. That God is everything and he's become transformed in the material energy and somehow are becoming transformed into the material, spiritual, whatever energy, then his identity becomes lost, like transformation. And but Prabhupada actually refers here in the purport to the Isopanishad. One of the verses he quotes with that reference in the purport is Om Purnam Adha Purnam, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is emanates so many perfect and complete wholes, and he remains the perfect and complete whole. And that's called, the technical word for that is called Shakti Parinambad. That means the transformation of the energies rather than the... Let me put my glasses on so I can see you all. See if there's anyone in class. So anyway, so... otherwise, I'm an illusion without my glasses. So so he says that there's Shakti Parinambad means the transformation of the energies of the Lord. Whereas the impersonalist boy is whatever, they think that the Lord has become transformed. So anyway, so getting back to this verse, Atma, Atmanam. So this verse is generally used to refer to those who were thinking one of these two things before, you know, that they were self-satisfied before because thinking themselves to be the supreme or thinking or understanding everything, or at least understanding their Brahman one way or other, aham brahmasmi, and they become attracted to Krishna's pastimes. That's generally like Shukadeva Goswami, for example, who is ostensibly, not in reality, but ostensibly acting like a Brahmavadi, and then he becomes attracted when he's in the womb of his mother, hearing Krishna's pastimes or the Bhagavatam being recited by his father. Another example given is the four Kumaras. Remember that the four Kumaras were Brahmavadis, and they happened to smell the tulsi leaves and flowers offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, and as a result, they just said, wow, there's something better. So that was the proof of the superiority of Bhagavan realization to all the other types of realizations, or even the so-called realization that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, it's just proof, because all varieties, the Atmanama, means all varieties of self-realized personality. So that's generally what the verse is used to indicate. However, sometimes the verse can indicate the conditioned souls who are taking shelter of the body, which is quite an interesting realization that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had. Of course, I don't know if we can say the Lord has realizations. But anyway, yes, everything is his realization. He realizes everything. But it's not that he didn't realize it before. When we have realizations, it's something that we didn't understand before. You know, we go to our friend and we say, I just had this realization today. But Krishna always has his realizations. So anyway, so... Lord Chaitanya here defines there's seven different meanings of the word Atma, which is the first verse of the first word of the verse we read today. And he says the seven different meanings are the absolute truth, of course that's Krishna, you know, referring to Krishna, the body, the mind, endeavor, firmness, intelligence, and nature. Wow. In other words, as far as the absolute truth, that's easy to understand, and also the when we're talking about the absolute truth, we're talking about including his parts and parcels in this particular verse. You know, mami, which Prabhupada refers to in this verse, mami vangsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manashastani indriyani prakriti shtani karshati, which means the living entities are my parts and parcels. Of course, as Prabhupada defines, parts and parcels means that we have the same nature of the Lord, but parcel, we're only a small part of that nature. I mean, and only we're tiny. So, you know, part means the same, parcel, you know, tiny portion. So, So absolute truth, Vishnu Shakti Para Prakta Shechagyaki Tata Para Avidya Karma Sanginya Tritir Shakti Ishite. Another way the soul is defined is, it's interesting, the soul is defined as part and parcel of Krishna, as part of the absolute truth. And in other instances, the soul is defined as the energy of the Lord. You know, Vishnu Shakti Para Prakta. The three energies of the Lord are defined as the superior energy, para prakriti, and then it says shetrag yakya tatapara, that we're also part of that energy. So sometimes we find our definition of the soul being that we're part and parcel of Krishna, you know, we're just like the same nature, and other times we find that we're one of Krishna's energies. So this is simultaneously, both are true, of course. So anyway, so referring to Atma here, you know, body, mind, absolute truth, natural characteristics, firmness, intelligence, endeavor. So Lord Chaitanya describes one who enjoys these seven different items, then that's what the word Atma Rama refers to. So the question is raised, you know, why would one be enjoying the body? Of course, in Krishna consciousness, we enjoy using the body in Krishna service, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes further into defining people who are enjoying or thinking they're enjoying the body. He describes the word nirgrantha, which is the definition of the person who is actually the enjoyer, who is the Atmarama. He describes that as someone who is, in addition to one who is liberated, I mean, the direct definition of nirgrantha is one who is liberated from the material knots of ignorance. But he says it also refers to one who is devoid of all regulated principles enjoined in the Vedic literatures. It also refers to one who has no knowledge. And it also refers to one who is illiterate, low-born, misbehaved, unregulated, and devoid of respect for Vedic literature. Lord Chaitanya is amazing. I mean, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was asked to define this particular verse, and he did, you know, in his little way compared to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then Lord Chaitanya came out. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya frankly fainted, and he took shelter of Lord Chaitanya. And he said the word also refers to one who is a capitalist and also to one who has no riches. So in other words, just about everybody's included in this. So in other words, everybody is taking pleasure in what he considers to be the self, or attempting to take pleasure in what he considers to be the self. However, I could go on with this whole thing, because Lord Chaitanya breaks apart the word nirgrantha into the prefix into the suffix, and then goes in further into an analysis. So I'm not going to give a whole class on that, his definition of the Rama verse. So this is what we can understand, that people are trying to take pleasure in their various conceptions of reality or conceptions of themselves. Of course, also in that verse, you know, Krishna says, a verse from the Gita I just quoted, that manasastani indriyani prakriti shtani karshati, but they're struggling. They're not happy. So how do we come to the point? The question is, not much time in class. How do we, because there's so many things to discuss here, how do we come to the point of actually understanding our nature and the nature of God? Because right now, according to the last verse, the last part of the verse, that we are actually involved in the illusory conception of life, in which we think, I am this material body and everything in relationship with this body is mine. And actually there's quite an easy way, as Krishna says in the Gita, one who sees me and everything in me is never lost to me, nor am I ever lost to him. So in other words, we have to see that we are of the same nature of Krishna as described in this verse. It's quite an easy conception. And of course our ignorance is not of the same nature as Krishna, but our basic needs that we have. You know, Krishna also has a need for love. He has a need, his needs are fulfilled because he's Aptakama. He can fulfill his own needs. Whereas we are not Aptakama. The word Aptakama refers to someone who's capable of fulfilling his own needs. Therefore, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, we also find him described as Swarat. He's independent. Whereas what differentiates us from Krishna is that we are not independent. Although we do have a need for autonomy in relationship to Krishna, it's not that Krishna forces us or wants to force us to act in a certain way. He wants us to express our autonomy in relationship to him. So we can understand things in this particular way. So how do we arrive at this consciousness? First of all, understanding everything belongs to Krishna. Everything is meant to be used for his pleasure, not simply the negation that is mentioned here, that we have nothing to do with the material body, etc., etc. But we have to understand our connection with Krishna in every single aspect of our actions in our lives. And by doing that, of course, that's very hard. You know, it's very hard because all of the time we're thinking about our connection in terms of our atma, our misunderstanding of the atma, which we described here in the beginning, that we're the body, we're the mind, and even as devotees, we're just completely enwrapped in our upadis. Sarva upadi, vinir muktam tatpat, raina niyamilam, rishikena rishikesha sevanam, bhakti ruchite. So it's very hard. It's very hard. Mama eva ye prapajate, dayametam taranti te, daivyesha mama maya. So Krishna's energy is impossible to overcome. So I was here listening to a class yesterday that Srila Prabhupada was giving, I mean, just to make a shortcut, about how to overcome illusion. And generally, we are fighting illusion, even as devotees, you know, we're fighting illusion, trying to fight Maya, trying to get out of Maya. And Prabhupada equated that to Draupadi trying to fight Duryodhana, or actually Dushasan. In this particular class, Prabhupada said Karna was helping Dushasan disrobe Draupadi, which is quite an interesting realization. He said Karna and Dushasan were actually pulling on the sari. It was the first time I heard that, actually. And he said Draupadi was attempting to protect herself. And she was holding on to the sari. And then eventually, of course, with these two big monsters attacking her, you talk about a differential in power. You know, sometimes people talk, oh, there's a differential in power between this person and me. So anyway, so talk about a differential. You know, this big 8-foot, 10-foot kshatriyas and this, you know, nice petite lady. And she was a kshatriya lady also, because she was born from fire. So she also had some fire in her system. So after a while, Prabhupada said she just threw up her hands and said, Govinda. And then Krishna provided unlimited sari. So I was also thinking about that particular story about Draupadi being disrobed, and thinking how important it is, not only from the standpoint that it happened, but the important thing is that, you know, these stories are presented in such a way to teach us something. I mean, things are not just taken like by accident, or, you know, just someone just picks things by chance out of the different Vedic stories, because obviously there's billions of stories about devotees connected to Krishna. There's unlimited stories about devotees connected to Krishna. So why this particular story? Because it teaches us something. That's why the story is important. It's an extremely important story. The acharyas talk about it because we learn that if we're trying to fight with our own strength, with our own false ego, thinking that we're intelligent, that we have so much determination, then Krishna will say, well, let them try on their own and see what happens. But if we throw up our hands, of course we make some endeavor, not just throw up our hands and lie in bed all day long, you know, oh, Govinda, like that, then Krishna will help us. But we have to maintain that dependence on Krishna to free ourselves from illusion. Otherwise, it doesn't happen. And even, I've discovered, even when managing things, of course, managing things means managing devotees, which is very hard, that sometimes you just throw up your hands and say, Govinda, it's too much. And then Govinda helps you at that point. On that happy note, okay, all glories to Shri.